Heavenly prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the joy of being in your presence. We ask that you would speak to us with power, with hope, and with grace. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We're going to do a couple of exercises mapping with maps. So first of all, I'm going to stand right about here, and I'm going to take you from Ogallee, Melbourne, Florida, and transport you to a city called Chiang Mai in the north of Thailand. Chiang Mai, it's a city of about 1 million people, and if you go to the west, you will find Myanmar, Bangladesh, and India. If you go to the east, you will find Laos, Vietnam. If you go to the north, you'll find Nepal, Tibet, the rest of China. If you go to the south, you'll find Indonesia, Malaysia, and Singapore. Now, some of you remember Singapore because 20 years ago, about this month, I don't remember exactly which month it was, Linda and I, together with our one-year-old son at that point in time, came to talk about going to Singapore. And we left 20 years ago on Thanksgiving Day for Singapore. Tomorrow, David turns 21. So it's really easy to remember that it was 20 years ago. And Timothy, our younger son, was born in Singapore and is now 19, and he and David will be staying here in the States, we think, as we go to Thailand. But Linda and I, our plan is to be leaving for Thailand in the end of December. Yesterday we sat down with a realtor, signed a contract. She's going to sell the house. We have maybe a lead on a house in Chiang Mai, maybe. Email hasn't come back yet, so we're not certain what's happening. And so we are about to embark on yet another adventure. We'll be living in Chiang Mai, but we will be visiting missionaries in the countries around us. Linda will be doing what's called member care, which is specifically speaking into their lives as people. Their relationships, their struggles, their hopes, their walk with the Lord. I will be speaking into missionaries working with 7 different minorities. Those minorities do not have the scripture in their own language yet. So I believe that the country around them might have the scripture, but they don't because they speak a different language. And therefore they will live, grow old, and die without ever being a Christian. So we'll be working with 7 teams to plant churches, to grow churches, and to see the gospel spread. Now that's the first map. The second map is from Acts chapter 15. We didn't read it this morning. So if you said, wait, we didn't read it. You're right, we didn't read it. But in Acts chapter 15, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, the same 3 men who wrote today's epistle to the Thessalonians, they, in Acts chapter 15, 16, 17, and 18, they go on a missionary journey. So we're going to transplant ourselves to a different part of the world, and we're going to go to the north of the Greek peninsula. This is Greece from here to there. And in the north of Greece is Macedonia. And Paul, early in that missionary journey, stops in the city of Macedonia, preaches the gospel, gathers some people together who believe in Jesus, and they start worshiping the Lord. Where does he go next? He ends up, after Macedonia, he ends up in Thessalonica, which is about in the middle of the Greek peninsula, but it's a little bit to the north. And then he goes a little bit further. And in each of these cities, he does the same thing. He preaches, and he gathers believers to form a church. So we started with Macedonia, Thessalonica, now we're in Achaia. And in the last, down in the south, you have the two cities of Athens and Corinth. And Paul is probably in one of those two cities, writing his letter from Corinth to the church up there in Thessalonica. Okay, you got the picture? So this is Greece. I'm way down the south. I'm going to go a little bit further north. I'm leaving Athens and Corinth. I come to Achaia. I go a little bit further. I come to Thessalonica. And I go even further, and I get to Macedonia at the north of the peninsula. In our reading for the epistle, it begins by saying Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Silvanus is the Greek way of saying the Hebrew name Silas. The three men are missionaries. They are on a missionary journey. They are writing to who? The believers in Thessalonica. Who have been called by God, who have been called to believe in Jesus, who have become brothers in the faith, verse 4. They have gotten a hold of the gospel, which was preached in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. I love those two words, full conviction. And they became, in verse 6, imitators of Paul and of God. Their lives were changed, transformed by the preaching of the Word of God. As a result, in verse 7, the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia are encouraged because the believers in Thessalonica are an example for them. In fact, he goes on to say in verse 8, if I remember correctly, that all believers, meaning Athens and Corinth, have heard about what God is doing in Thessalonica. This is a missionary journey, and it is a missionary letter written by a missionary about what God is doing in a missionary country. Is that Paul celebrates their faith in Jesus Christ, that they are looking forward to the return of Jesus from heaven, Jesus who was resurrected from the dead. Their faith is because of Jesus. The only reason that Paul leaves Jerusalem is to proclaim the good news of Jesus. You have two pictures of Jesus up front. Stained glass, Jesus over the altar. To keep our focus. Why are we here this morning? To proclaim and worship Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, and risen. He changed everything. And the Thessalonians, their lives have been so changed that the other churches are encouraged. So, how do we bring that to St. John's on this Sunday morning? Well, there are two ways. The first is, I Googled this morning, Circle of Light for Africa. I Googled Charlene Zing. Found a couple of articles. One from some church, which name I forgot, Charlene. Church by the Sea, Star by the Sea. I don't know where the sea is in Uganda, but some church in Uganda has her name and her team from a couple of years ago. And then on Facebook, there was another testimony of Solar Light for Africa with Restoration Gateway. And so this church, you are investing in others in Africa. And they have heard your testimony. Just like the Macedonians and the Achaeans heard about the Thessalonians. 20 years ago, when Glenda and I went to Singapore, we were able to talk about the church here because you were praying for us, because a few of you will remember that Timothy was born premature, and so we had a difficult time when we first arrived. And you were one of the congregations that was praying for us. And so your witness, your example, your testimony was an encouragement from Melbourne all the way to Singapore. You are like the Church of Thessalonica. Your example encourages those who believed before you in Macedonia and those who came to believe after you. As long as you remain anchored in the Word with full conviction, hearing that Jesus Christ has risen and living out that faith. The main thing is that it continues. Your commitment to Solar Life Graphic, your commitment to other outreach ministries beyond the parish. And I'd like to invite you to partner with Linda and me. Because interestingly enough, like I said, I'm going to get to do what Paul did. I'm going to get to go traveling. I'm going to go from, it won't be Macedonia, but it'll be a city in one part of Asia, and I'll go to another city. And Linda's going to go to many of the same cities. And together we're going to encourage the missionaries and encourage the churches. And some of those churches, I'm not mentioning countries, because there are challenges in those countries, even persecution in those countries. And for them to know that you are praying for us, by extension for them, will be an encouragement. My prayer is that also, that as you hear about what God is doing in Asia, you will be encouraged in your prayer. Because Paul says to the Thessalonians, they received the gospel even in times of affliction, and they received it with joy. Those churches that we go to, they may be only 10 people. They may be the only 10 people in the whole city who believe in Jesus. And their friends and their families will say, Jesus, who's that? What's that? Jesus, never heard of that before. And they will struggle with their faith. And yet, as they grow in their faith, as they hold on to the Word with full conviction, experience the power of the Holy Spirit, as they hold on to the resurrection of Jesus, their lives are going to be transformed. And like the Thessalonians, they will be an encouragement to the next village. And the next village will be an encouragement to the because you see, God's purpose is today the same that it was 2,000 years ago. To share the love of Jesus with all the world. In fact, it's the same purpose that God had when God gave the word to Moses in our Old Testament readings. God has a desire to make known his glory around the whole of the globe. And yet there are people today who still have no access to the gospel or the church in their own language, in their own community. You and I, how many churches did you pass while you drove to this? You have plenty of choices to come to church at 7:30, 7:25, 8 o'clock, 8:30. There's even one church in town that starts at 11:07. You get your choice. But there are places today where there is no church, or maybe one church in a whole city of 100,000 people. And you can be like the Thessalonians, an encouragement to the gospel going forward. Verses 2 through 10 are all prayer. Paul rejoices in prayer. is the work of the Lord? When you and I pray, we go into the presence of God and say, God, here's what we're watching. And God says, and here's what I want you to pay attention to. He used to work for Chick-fil-A, trying to get meals done, and out the window, trying to, in I think it was a minute and a half. And that's the way we treat prayer. It falls too often. Pray today and we expect an answer tomorrow. But I stand here as a testimony, as an witness, that 20 years ago, you prayed for Linda and for me, and your prayers are still being worked out. God is still answering those prayers 20 years ago, calling us, moving us, showing us the grace is real to the person. Stop praying. Every one of Paul's epistles opens with prayer. We are knit together at the front of God. And so, yes, I want to invite you to partner with Linda today. There's an insert in the bulletin, and you can feed the fish. There's a dead fish on the table in the parish hall. You can put the bulletin in the response sheet in the red sheet in the parish hall. But more importantly, I want to draw your attention now to Eucharist. Because whether we're talking Africa or Asia, whether we're talking Greece, Macedonia, Thessalonica, Achaia, and Athens, and Corinth, we're all united in the throne of God. And so in the next few moments, we are going to draw up here. And in the Eucharist, we are going to be reminded that we are one body.